This episode features depictions of violence, death, and language that some listeners may find offensive, as well as discussions of suicide, murder. Listener's discretion is advised, especially for children under 13. Find a man who stares at you like you're the prettiest demon he's ever seen in his life, said no exorcism priest ever. I mean, shouldn't there be an app that warns you're about to run into someone you knew in high school? I mean, our phones are already spying on us. Might as well do this favor while they are at it. And for the real news over here, just a breaking news, which makes me feel that there is no good in this whole big world. Humans love Bigfoot because we are narcissists, says a Bigfoot expert. Says an expert who is expert in expertizing himself, which is supposed to be a delusion or a conspiracy theory. I mean, okay, so we will get into why was this statement made. So Bigfoot is real or not real is still debatable. But then Coleman, who is a museum curator, said that more and more visitors are obsessed with Bigfoot than any other cryptid. It's because of human narcissism. They enjoy that one thing which is most like human. The museum features a life-size of Bigfoot replica that attracts both tourists and selfie takers. A lot of people who understand that they'll never see a Bigfoot in real life appreciate seeing something in life-size. Wow, that is evil. So today I think I discovered something about myself. Something like, you know, I think I love to terrorize people. And I truly enjoy it. I mean, I used to do it when I was little. I had this classmate of mine who accidentally stamped an ant in the park. And I made her perform a ritual in middle of the field for no good reason. And she performed the ritual for one whole hour. And today also, I think I terrorized an unassuming poor human soul, terrorized him with a Hannibal show, telling him how fantastic it is, what kind of symphony is death to that show. I think that's how it went. I don't know if how this is going, but this is the best thing. I discovered something about myself. So if you would ask me, do I regret doing such stuff, talking like really crazy true crime stuff to people? Yes. Would I do it again? Probably yes again. So this is the voting time, and I'm just putting in there a word that, you know, you guys have to vote and prove your point and stuff like that. You can just go and vote Biden if you like, but then this is just up to you. I'm just promoting my point of view over here. I just don't want people to get pissed off with this and, you know, not listen to my whole podcast itself. It's like, see, if you had $86,000 in your bank account and someone stole $10 from you, would you be upset and throw the remaining amount away? No, right? No, see, then why would you want some 10 seconds of unwanted information, or like me promoting my point of view, to destroy your whole experience, right? This is not just to be applied to my show, my podcast, or my thing, or what. It's whatever show you like, whatever artist you like. See, that person is an individual and he is much free to express his or her opinion. Just don't let that opinion decrease whatever the amazing experience you are having with their art or their show. Time immemorial, tetanists have got a bad rap. Maybe it has something to do with their name, although mainstream Satanism doesn't even worship the devil. But the followers are atheists who consider the devil a symbol for individualism and freedom rather than an actual entity. Its followers have been accused of some pretty devilish stuff though, and today's story is about Satan and Satan followers, or like let's say devil worshippers. This story is amazing. I would want you to grab a hot cup of hot chocolate with marshmallows or coffee or your pumpkin spice latte, whatever it is, just get cozy, because this story is going to be one hell of Halloween ride. Though it might not seem too many Americans know this, this is not like something from 19th or early 20th century, as traveling carnivals still do roam North America today. So in 1893, the Chicago's World's Columbian Exposition, or Chicago's World's at Columbia Expedition, better known by some as Chicago's World Fair, it was a catalyst for the development of modern traveling carnival. The Chicago's World's Fair had an area that includes rides, games, a chance, freak shows, burlesque. People traveled from far and wide to see beautiful women dance, strong men lift heavy weights, and the caravan of so-called quote-unquote freaks. Strange, atypical looking people from across the world, people who represented both danger and misfortune, you know, the exotic and grotesque. Afterwards, the carnival attendees returned gladly to safety of their homes, knowing that they were better off, but holding with them the thrill of seeing something strange, something that wasn't totally socially acceptable in mainstream society. After the Chicago World's Fair, traveling carnival companies became tour in US. In 1902, there were 17 traveling carnivals in USA. There was 46 by 1905, and then by 1937 there were an estimated 300 carnivals touring the nation. Hopping the rails, going from town to town, a lot of these carnivals gained a reputation for cutting corners here and there, hiring people who weren't maybe necessarily the most law-abiding. The carnival became a good place for someone to get a job if they were trying to escape their past or escape their present. If you needed to know, you know, escape your life and get out of town fast, what better way than to hitch a ride with a traveling carnival? That's my plan. And if you were still committing crimes, the carnival was perfect traveling to different city every night. You might feel uncatchable, feel like the slate had been wiped clean every time you packed up and headed to a new town. You might feel like you could get away with anything. Time now for a tale of satanic carnival sacrifice. You are listening to Crime with Kate, amazing true crime podcast with all bizarre, unbelievable stories brought to you. So let's get into the story. So here it goes. In 1991, William Anthony Alt was 21 and working for DeKalb County Fair in Indiana. He was a loner who didn't have great social skills, and his days in the road with the fair were mostly long and tedious, characterized mainly by grueling physical labor. And as carnival unpacked and unpacked, beginning the end of every day, the closest people had to friends were a few co-workers like Mark Goodwin, 22, were brothers Mark and Goodwin, Kate and David, Lawrence, 20 and 23 respectively, Jimmy Pencock, 25. who seemed to be leader of the group. If they were a pack of wolves, Jimmy was alpha. Jimmy had a tough life after growing up, bouncing from foster home to foster home. He committed multiple crimes as teen and young adult, some small thefts, some break-ins that resulted in short periods of incarceration and probation. And then he found the carnival. He soon found new crimes to commit, truly heinous and horrific crimes. William always saw Jimmy and the other three guys almost every day, to see them night after night finish work, walk off carnival grounds together. And when the group walked away, they lazily walked towards whatever town they were in. Like most of the other carnival workers in search of good metal or a stiff drink after a long day, instead they generally walked towards whatever woods were nearby, disappearing it into the tree line. And while William watched them head into the woods numerous times, he never saw them walk back out. But they would always show up the next morning, often looking tired, often with dark eyes around their eyes. They tended to smell bad as well, like dirt, mud, maybe decaying meat, like death, William thought. What were they doing, he wondered. Yeah, what was going on in the middle of the night in those woods? He asked Jimmy one afternoon if he could come with them, but Jimmy blew him off. Jimmy said it was a secret club members only. It sounded lame, but William still wanted to see what they were doing. So one night, when they are outside town in rural Ohio, William decided to follow these guys into the woods. He'd watched them disappear and waited for a couple of minutes to pass before he followed them. And then he ducked under the tree branches, wolves through thickets, following the sound of their voices. After a while, their voices sounded closer, almost as though they were standing next to him. William suddenly spun around and crouched behind a tree, because a few feet in front of him stood Jimmy, Keith, Mark, and David. They were standing around another tree. When William scooted to side to see what they were looking at, he gasped. Tied to the tree was an unconscious man, and there in Jimmy's hand was a knife. William froze as he heard Jimmy began to perform some sort of ritual before mighty, ineffable prince of darkness, and in the presence of all dread demons of bit and disassembled company. I acknowledge, I confess my past, renouncing all past allegiances. I proclaim that Satan, Lucifer rules the earth, and I ratify and renew my promise to recognize and honor him in all things without reservation, desiring in his return his manifold assistance in the successful completion of my endeavors and fulfillment of my desires. I call upon you, my brother, to bear witness and do likewise. As William watched the men, the bound man's eyelids flicker just slightly, and then Keith, David, and Mark watch, rapturous, more focused than William had ever seen them. Each man repeated, I proclaim that Satan, Lucifer rules the earth, therefore almighty and terrible Lord of darkness, said Jimmy, walking towards the unconscious man. We entreat you that you receive and accept the sacrifice which we offer to you on behalf of this assembled company, upon whom you have set your mark, that you may make us prosper in fullness and length of life under thy protection. He lifts the knife and carved an upside down cross into the unconscious man's forehead. The man's eyes flipped open and he started to scream. Jimmy hit him in the back of the head with the handle of the knife, and the man slumped over unconscious again. Jimmy did all of this without blinking or missing a breath. He spoke again. In the unity of unholy fellowship, we praise and honor the first Lucifer, Morning Star, Beelzebub, Lord of regeneration, Then Belial, prince of the earth and angel of destruction, Leviathan, beast of revelation, abandoned angel of bottomless pit, and Asmodeus, demon of lust, we call upon the mighty names of Astagrod, Nergal, and Behemoth of Belphegor, Adramkech, and Balbrith, all of the names of the formerless, the mighty and innumerable host of hell, by whose assistance may be strengthened in body and will. And then he knelt in front of the man and slit his throat. Blood sprayed the group's clothes red. Jimmy then dug in the knife and pulled it down the man's sternum. He was carving him up like an animal. William snuck back to the bush. While the men spoke to one another, he ran as fast as he could back to the carnival. He couldn't believe it. His co-workers were satanic killers, with these guys regularly making sacrifices to Prince of Darkness, killing in city after city. Carnival workers by day, devil-worshipping murderers by night. Worship of Satan or some other evil deity is just as old as religion itself. The word Satan was not originally a proper name, but rather than an ordinary noun meaning the adversary in this context. It appears at several points in the Old Testament. Prior to the composition of New Testament, the idea developed within Jewish communities that Satan was the name of an angel who had rebelled against God and been cast out of heaven along with his followers. Satan was then featured in part 2 of the New Testament, where he was presented as a figure who tempted humans to commit sin. During the Middle Ages, the Inquisition attached to Catholic Church alleged that various heretical Christian sects and groups such as Knights Templar and Cathars performed secret satanic rituals in subsequent early modern period. Belief in a widespread satanic conspiracy of witches resulted in mass trials of alleged witches across Europe in North American colonies. In the idea of a vast satanic conspiracy became popular in 80s and 90s called Satanic Panic. Rumors of satanic ritual abuse and murder spread throughout United States. United Kingdom, in most of these historical cases, there was no evidence whatsoever that any of the accused Satanism were actually practitioners of a satanic religion, or even guilty of any of the allegations leveled at them. Religious Satanism, the actual religious worship of Satan, is extremely rare. Most satanic churches don't include belief in or worship of Satan or any deities at all. Most so called, say, this believed in form of humanistic atheism that includes philosophic principles, designed or to live one's life by principles that include an aggressive rejection of religion, especially Christianity. But what William would witness that night in Ohio was different. What he witnessed was what people worried about satanic panic were actually afraid of: a group of people actually killing in order to please the devil they were very much believing in. William should have gone to police, but he didn't. The more he thought about it, he actually found the idea of Satanism, despite what he had witnessed, appealing. Maybe he would finally have real friends. Maybe he would too be able to kill to please Dark Master, who would then give him power. He had never had any real power in life. Most of the carnival customers seemed to look down on him. Maybe this would change all that. If Satan was real, maybe William would be rewarded in some way for worshipping him. William approached Jimmy days after witnessing the murder. He said, "I know you and others are Satanists," he said, "and I want to join." Jimmy looked at him with a cold, detached gaze, same look he'd given the unconscious man back in the woods. Jimmy measured him and then told him that he and the other guys would set up a time for William's initiation. Later that day, Mark had told William to meet them on a certain corner that night. It was September 25th, 1991. William saw the group standing around and was told that they were waiting for a friend. Couple of minutes later, a woman named Brenda arrived in a car to pick them up all. She drove them down Morningstar Road, and when William asked where they were going, Keith said, "We are looking for some place where we won't be disturbed." Brenda then dropped him off in a field. They walked for a couple of minutes until Jimmy found what he was looking for. A door someone had abandoned and left out in the woods next to rubble of some old home lie down, he told William. "Close your eyes." William followed his commands. He hoped this would all turn him into something stronger, something powerful. He felt pressure on his arms, then on his legs, and then on his mouth. When he opened his eyes, he was gagged, and his limbs were tied together. He tried to make eye contact with any one of the men, hoping for a reassuring nod, but no one would look at him. His heart started to pound, and then he heard Jimmy start to chant, "Before the mighty and ineffable Prince of Darkness, in the presence of all dreaded demons of pit and disassembled company, I acknowledge and confess my past error." William realized too late that this was no initiation. They were going to kill him. He was going to be another sacrifice. Using Kate Lawrence's knife, Jimmy stabbed William in the stomach. He then cut William from his stomach to throat. William screamed, but the gag muffled it. Mark, David, and Keith approached, chanting softly over and over, "Hail Satan, Hail Satan, Hail Satan." They cut inverted crosses into William's arms and slashed at his chest. Jimmy then leaned over William and cut a gash big enough into his chest for him to put his hand. He reached into the hole before William's sternum and felt around in the blood and muscle. He could feel William's heart pushing blood, pumping just few inches away from his fingers. William was somehow barely still alive. Jimmy knelt down next to woman, placed a hand on his forehead and said, "Are you ready to die?" he asked. And then, without waiting for an answer, Jimmy leaned over him and slit his throat. William was no more. Jimmy, Mark, and Kate all cut off William's head, cut his hands off, tried to burn him, but it was a damp night and the fire wouldn't take. Instead, they buried his remains, but not before they took money from his pockets, and then the group walked down the road, careful to have cleaned off any blood they had gotten on them with water and rags. And they stumbled upon all places in Arby's that was open late. With William's money, they ordered dinner, laughing, drinking soda, eating roast beef sandwiches, dipping French fries in ketchup. With these guys able to do this all so casually because they were sociopaths? Maybe, maybe not. While psychologists have ranged in estimates between 1 in 25 and 1 in 200 people being sociopaths, it is of course possible that four sociopaths could come together as friends, but statistically unlikely. Sociopaths usually don't work together. They are usually too self-centered, too not communally devoted to some mythic being. These men were different. They had made it clear again and again that they would do anything for Satan. Had they really contacted some dark entity, some being that gave them the ability to kill and not care, some being that made them want to kill? 3 months later, William Alt remains were found in the woods In a few months after that, four men responsible for his death were discovered and tried for his murder. Investigators didn't have any other bodies to connect him to additional murders. Who knows how many others' remains are hidden somewhere out in the forests of North America. Keith Lawrence pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder, received a 50-year sentence, 20 years suspended. His brother David pled guilty to assisting a criminal and received 8 years. Mark Goodwin pled guilty to assisting a criminal and battery committed by means of deadly weapon. He received 8 years for each charge to be served concurrently. Jimmy, the ringleader, the most devoted Satanist, was given a 60-year sentence without parole in exchange for keeping the death penalty off the table. And as far as we know, Jimmy is still in prison. Both David and Mark are out, and Keith will be joining them sometime next year. Did any of them ever express any real remorse for what they did? No. But when he was asked about it after being sent to prison, Keith Lawrence did say that Satanism was like a drug. You get high, and once you're over it, you have got to inject even more than the first time. So, will they return to their worship with Dark Lord on the outside? Is the devil real? And can he convince you to kill? You'll never know unless you worship and call upon him. And based on this tale, I wouldn't recommend trying to find out. That was a chilling story. I mean, what do we learn from this story, from this crime story? That traveling carnivals are good for criminals. And that if you really have a plan to kill someone or want to pursue your serial killing, then traveling carnival is your biggest bet. It is even more likely good that if you start it on your own, rather than, you know, having a snitch here and there. Oh god, I need help. Anyways, that was today's story. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. For furthermore information on the story, like images and any other tidbits, you can follow Crime with K on Instagram, which I would be posting a lot of information on, and things like that. So if you have had any experience related to Satanism or anything else, then you can just ping me on that. I would like to end this podcast with note that, you know, that no religion, no belief is really bad until and unless you put your action into it. There are crimes being committed in the name of God. There are crimes being committed in the name of devil, but these are just for the namesake. The crimes that are being committed, the atrocities that are taking place, are real people with very dark intentions. Until next time, I would be signing off, and remember, always listen to Crime with K and not pop up on my podcast as next episode.